Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Namaste, friends. Well, I'm going to start this week, of all things, with a bath. Yeah, not a normal bath, a ritual bath to balance your chakras. If you're looking for more sort of balance and relaxation to your life, you might want to consider a weekly chakra bath. Soak it in water that's been infused with gemstones, essential oils and herbs. It's a luxurious experience that can be customised to enhance any of the seven main chakras. Now, I'm in my bathroom now. I've been running the bath for, I don't know what, 7 or 8 minutes. It's quite deep. And now, to begin, I'd probably suggest focusing on one specific chakra at a time. Let's turn the bath off. There you are. Looks very inviting, I've got to tell you. Now, add your gemstones to your bath. Which gemstones you use are entirely up to you, but I do suggest you cleanse the crystals first. Add 1 cup of Himalayan or Epsom salt to help you relax and support cleansing, and create an atmosphere. Candles, I've got here. Candles are great. Yeah, just down here, some candles. And some soft music. Here, yeah, can help you relax, play that there. Lovely. Now, add 8 to 10 drops of the essential oils. If you want to add herbs, you could maybe even make a strong herbal tea. Literally add that to your bath water. Or if you prefer, you might want to make a cup of tea, you know, a herbal tea to sip while you soak. I'm just gonna lean over the bath here and swish the oils before I step in. Beautiful, wonderful smells coming off there now from the essential oils. Relaxing. I've not even got in the bath yet. Now you want now to... wonderful, wonderful aroma. You want to add now, very carefully, very gently, the Himalayan...
Hello, Penta.
Oh, my God! Ruth, what are you doing here?
I've got a key.
Oh, my God! Can you get out, please, Ruth? Come on. What are you doing?
Well, if you didn't want me to come in, why did you let me have the spare key?
I don't know. I just forgot you'd...
Is that when you wash your bottom? Do you have a dirty bottom?
No.
You do have a dirty bottom.
Come on, Ruth, please.
It's a very dirty bottom.
Can you get out, please?
Sometimes you don't wipe your bottom properly.
Ruth, come on.
Is that your willy?
Please get out.
It's not very big.
Can you get
it
out, please, Ruth?
I've never seen you without your hair
Can
on.
Can you get out, please? Give us the key. Give us the key back.
I've got another
key. Give us the keys you've got.
I can leave this one
right
here.
Right, thank you. Can you get out, please? Can you move out of the way? Can you give us a towel?
Is Linda Pollock seeing you in the bath?
No. Can you hand me that towel, please? Can you please just hand me a towel,
please?
I bet
she has seen you in the bath.
Can you hand me the towel?
Do you and Linda Pollock have baths together, Clinton?
Give us a towel and get out, please.
I'll just sit outside if you want.
No, you won't sit outside. Can you leave the house, please? Leave the key on the side and get out. Don't go back!
Do you have a wee in the bath?
No!
I've weed in your bath, Clinton.
All right, thank you very much. Can you please just leave? Get out now. Get out! Namaste, guys. Namaste. Yes, we're back again. Oh, my God. I've got Linda here. Thank God. Linda. I have had terrible trouble. I don't. At the start of this, you will have missed this, but yeah. I've had terrible trouble.
You're in a right flap. You're right.
I'm in a right flap. I've had a bloody Ruth come around. I'm going to have to get her to change that key.
She's still got the spare key.
She's got the bloody spare.
Are you mad?
I didn't realise, did I?
Bloody hell.
Bloody
get
hell.
Get that chub changed.
I will get... How did you know I had a chub?
Well, no choice.
No more rudeness. No more rudeness. But one thing is for certain.
I've been watching you sitting on the toilet with your trousers and your pants down.
I'm not going to go into detail, but suffice to say, she's been round, all right? Linda, what have you been up to? Not spying through the keyhole at me doing me ablutions.
I went out on the razzle last night. Me and about, I don't know, three, no, four, five. How many people fit in the
O2? You're in the
O2? Yeah, me, Barry Manilow and a load of other people.
Oh, my God. Now, I'll let you into a little secret, listeners. I did know that Linda had done that. I want to say this. I love Barry Manilow. Didn't take me, none taken, don't matter. Tell me, what was he like?
Just wonderful. Yeah. I was a bit doubtful when he first came on. It's been a very long 2 years for all of us. And Barry Manilow certainly looks like a very... tiny man now.
Yes, well, he's quite old. It's not a crime to get old.
His hair is, but in fact, he's very similar look to you. Big hair.
Yes.
Tiny elfin face.
Yes.
Very tight skin. Very tight skin. But he can get a lot of pipe work coming out of that 1 centimetre gap that he manages to get his mouth open by.
Can I just say, I look nothing like Barry Bloody Manilow.
Aesthetic wise, though, the spangly jackets, the glamour.
Look,
the talent obs.
That is show business. There's nothing wrong. I'm not always reclining in a nice glittery suit, you know. When if you come and see me out of working hours, I've got that glittery jumpsuit I wear.
You've got a glittery tracksuit.
I've got a glittery tracksuit. I'm a little bit like, you know, Elton John when he wears that velour thing.
Yeah.
And you think, where do you go? Where do you go? The TK Maxx for that? Where do you get your stuff?
He's in his comfies. And do you know what? He's Elton John. He doesn't have to give a toss anymore, does he?
We've been sidetracked by Elton.
Yes.
Tell us about Barry. It's full of middle-aged women, or older women.
Older women, women older than me. There was me and a little boy, and I think we were the youngest people in there, and I'm no spring chicken.
Right.
But I have never been amongst, I have actually once, a more hostile crowd.
In what
people
way?
Who did not want to move because they had got their seat, they'd waited 2 years for this concert, and they'd be damned if they're going to move out of the way for you. Where have you been for the past 40 years?
Some of them can't move with the help of a carer or someone from the council.
Also true.
And a crane.
Yes.
Some of them. So that, to be fair, once they've got ensconced in there with their ice creams,
they didn't want to stand up.
They don't want to stand. What I love about Barry Manilow, and just bear it, you kids, you won't know who he is, but he was a wonderful one. One of my favourite songs is Mandy.
Yeah.
Mandy, you came and you gave without taking, but I sent you away. It's very powerful, isn't it?
Yes, but, you know, he's come out in recent years and he's married, I believe, to his manager now, which
right.
is wonderful.
Okay.
I think it's great, and I think it's a little sad that he's had to wait all this time to feel comfortable enough to do that. But it's none of our business anyway.
It's none of our bloody business.
His manager obviously knew, or at least had an inkling.
You know what I love about... Did he do all the hits? Bermuda Triangle.
Bermuda Triangle.
Copacabana.
He did the lot, yeah.
For those who don't know, Barry Manilow, the song Mandy was actually butchered by, was it Westlife?
Westlife.
Like
they had a go, didn't they? But I think they lost a lot of the pathos involved. And now I wonder, actually, knowing what Barry has been through in his life,
yeah,
I wonder whether it was about a fella, because actually he's singing about being made to feel great and then sending someone away and feeling bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't right, and you wonder, don't you?
Well, you do sort of wonder whether the whole thing was about that sort of shenanigans.
Yes.
Going on. Well, good luck to you, Barry.
But
the songs he used to... I mean, the wonderful songs like Copacabana and these songs... That's something I do miss from the old days. Bear with me, people. Songs that told a story. Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
People disappearing.
Yes.
Copacabana.
Shootings.
Who? I used to listen to many years ago. Do you remember Melody FM? They used to have things like, you know, Uptown Uptempo Woman.
Right.
I'm a downtown downbeat guy. Bobby Goldsborough. Do you remember Bobby Goldsborough? It was the first summer. What was it called? The first summer or the last summer?
That
noon.
Do you know how I know that? Because when I used to work in Doc Perkins, I had to go around 3 times before I could finish my shift.
Did you hate it as a result? Did you like it? Oh, I think it's a fantastic song.
I thought it was a bit creepy. I went to... We woke up a man or something. It's like, oh, what were you before?
Well, what happened... For those who don't know it, it's about a young man and it's got the fantastic lyric. I was 17, she was 86. You know
Dirty.
That one. And basically, it's a woman who takes... And it's... I've got the lyrics here, because I did do a little bit of research with this. And it, what happens is... I sat beside her on the front porch swing and I wondered what the coming night would bring. I think we know what the coming night would bring, and it was...
Do you like to taste me some donuts?
Which I think is probably what went on there. She threw back her hair like I wasn't there. She sipped on a julep, her shoulders were bare, and I tried not to stare as I looked at her two lips.
Slimy.
No, don't be disgusting.
Would you like to scrape my bottom one day?
Why have I got an image of a woman sitting on a swing, like grand spreading?
Grand spreading, yeah, that's right. Looking straight into the new year he was. And she looked at me, she said, I know you're young, you don't know what to do or say, but stay with me until the sun has gone away and I will chase the boy in you away. So basically, they had sexual intercourse.
She's way too old for him.
Probably, wasn't it? But I just wonder, it was a lovely song. You know, if you think about someone losing their virginity, beautiful, romantic.
A long song from my memory.
I'm trying to think, you know, if I had a long song, I think...
It was a quick one, wasn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Straight to the chorus.
Straight to the bloody chorus, yeah. I remember... Have you had to write one about Bobby Goldsboro for your first time?
Yeah.
I went to... Let's have a think. I went to a flat. A mother was out. We got pissed on cider. It was a total bloody mess. And I found... I can't think of anything.
I was in distress.
And...
She couldn't feel me inside.
It's very naughty,
is
Linda.
It in yet was the cry.
Oh, God. 9 out of 10 for effort. Very, very good. Let's move on to some... filthiness
aside.
We're
not going to be rude this week, are we?
We are definitely not going to be rude. We're going to be... very, very scary. So let's... Linda, could you please refer to the Bible for this sort of thing? Chat
its fate
with no joke. Scary music, etc., please.
All right.
What is caulrophobia? No, it's not caulophobia, which is a fear of being an X Factor judge and having ludicrous cosmetic surgery. It's a fear of clowns. It's a fear of clowns, if you would please.
Killer clowns are a popular trope in horror films and fiction, from Pennywise to Stephen King's It, to the terrifying clown doll in 1982 film Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
To the killer clown craze of 2016, which turned out to be bollocks, didn't it?
Oh, God. Do you remember that, people? What sort of a sad bastard do you have to be to dress up as a clown and hang around? Isn't it awful?
It was nonsense. And do you know what? Our Sienna's school, that rumour went through like wildfire. All the little kiddies were shitting themselves, worrying that the clown was going to come for them. It was like three dickheads on YouTube, wasn't it? It didn't happen.
You've got so little in your life that you have to do that. It's a bit like people who get on iTunes and give me a shit review. Sitting in their bedroom, nothing better to do. Put your bloody clown nose on and go out and see how impressed people are by that and all.
And have a word with yourself.
You
don't have to like my dad, but you don't have to know about it.
You don't have to know about it. Yeah, my dad was a clown. Big shoes to fill, let me tell you. Oh,
thank you. Given that clowns have demonic roots, and are steeped in terrifying folklore, it's no wonder we're so scared of them.
Well, that's true, but read on, Linda.
Do they have demonic roots?
Yeah, they do. She don't know nothing about the supernatural. Don't worry, friends.
Let's find out more.
Let's find out.
First of all, the cloyne, which sounds like a Northern Irish clown, doesn't
it? A cloyne?
Cloyne.
I'm going to see the clowns. Sorry to our friends from Northern Ireland.
The ancient and merciless horned demon from Nordic mythology, the cloyne, is set to hole up in Norway's mountain caves. He appears in the snow, offering shivering children the promise of food and warmth in his cave, only for the children to realise...
the joke is on them.
Ooh.
The cloyne is recognisable by its blistered red nose, bloody hell, bleeds from its exposure to sub-zero cold.
Oh, my God, it sounds like some people we know from Soho House who I've met. They come out the toilets like that sometimes, don't they?
And a deathly pale complexion.
Yeah.
It's not a great leap of imagination to see how the Nordic demon could have inspired the outlandish appearance that we associate with clowns.
Oh, bloody hell.
I saw a video with Charlie Caroli the other day.
Oh,
I'd only ever heard of him as a funny name. I didn't realise he was such a horror fest.
Absolutely terrifying. Yeah, this one. Clowning around. The Heyoka is a kind of sacred clown amongst the Lakota people of the Great Plains of North America, taking on the persona persona of a trickster-like character, the Heyoka uses satire. It's a clown that, for once, tries to be funny.
Oh, blimey.
Right, and he uses trickster-style characteristics to make important points, forcing other members of the tribe to examine their own behaviour and attitude.
I've seen that on RuPaul. They call it reading, don't they?
Right. For example, when food is scarce, Heyoka may complain about how full he is. Fucking hilarious. Or when it's boiling hot, he'll be shivering under a blanket. They provoke laughter, not by those two jokes, I don't, at times of despair, and bring an element of chaos to situations when people feel complacent. They stop people taking themselves too seriously or believing they're more important than they are. That's not very funny, is it, the Heyoka?
No.
It makes Mrs. Brown's boys look funny,
yeah.
That Heyoka. Jesus Christ. Did you see... I mean, clowns, are they funny? I've never found them particularly funny. Did you know, the repair shop?
Yes, I've seen the repair shop.
Only the other week. Some of you listeners out there might remember this. There was a lad that came in, a Mr. and Mrs. come in with some long shoes which belonged to her great uncle.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Oh, God. And the bloke did them up, polished them up, which was nice. I'm into show business. I like that. Bit of ephemera from showbiz. And in the end, oh God, it was so embarrassing. They had to do a whole thing where, go on, are you going to try them on?
No, why?
Yeah. So the husband tries them on. Let's have you walking up and down the shop in these big shoes. Not funny.
No.
Not funny. Cut to Jay chocolate. Look at those big shoes. Not funny.
I think in the old days, before kids had Xboxes, they laughed at a lot more stuff.
Oh,
right?
They
but now
really
we've got Xboxes, Gogglebox, all the boxes. We don't need that shit, do we?
No, we do not. But I mean, I suppose the thing is with the repair shop, if people aren't crying, they've got to go for something. And in the same one, they brought in a lad, and I'm not being rude here. He was a bloke in a wheelchair. He'd had a premature birth, and he'd been given a blue teddy bear.
Oh, I saw that on Gogglebox.
Right. So clearly what they thought is, well, leave the best to last. This kid is going to have to cry. There's no way he's not going to bloody cry. And there was almost a temptation to just give him a little kick under the table to make him cry. You know, my mum's the best to me. There's almost a sense of, are you going to cry? Are you can someone hand him a spring onion to just waft under his nose? No tears. Oh, fuck it. Let's go with the big shoes. So he'd walk up and down. Let's get a laugh, if nothing else. It was neither funny nor sad. Not particularly scary. A bit like this podcast. Let's go now to another scary story. How about this? Can you put the echo on, please?
Yes.
Eerie shape-shifting skinwalkers are haunting a beauty spot in Birmingham, according to a paranormal investigator. The shadowy supernatural figures apparently have the ability to appear as other animals, with goats being a particularly popular choice. Author Lee Brickley, whose books on the supernatural are bestsellers, has gathered eyewitness testimony of the spooky goings-on around Cannock Chase. We do know what goes on around Cannock Chase. A lot of dogging, isn't there?
Oh, you just thanked me, naughty boy.
Etc. If you remember rightly, it wasn't just, you know, UFOs and scary creatures and skinwalkers. It wasn't, I think Stan Collymore was,
Oh, was that where he
was? Oh, yeah, he got in trouble for a bit of... on Cannock Chase. Not only is it home to skinwalkers, apparently there are wolves, UFOs, a half-human, half-hog apparition known as the Pigman, and the Black-Eyed Child. Oh, Christ! An infant with a hollow, charcoal black eye socket.
Do you think that's just an excuse, though? People coming back from the chase looking a bit out of puff and maybe maybe a bit pale and sweaty. What happened? Yeah. Oh, well, you won't believe it. It was a Pigman.
Yeah, I was just... I thought I saw you squashing your scrotum on a wing mirror. No, I was trying to deal with the pig man. It was a half human, half hog. Yeah, I think I know her. She comes up. No, that's disgusting.
Wonder what those noises were.
Oh, crap. That's probably what happened. Anyway, there's a picture here, which I know you'll be amused by, Linda, of Lee. He's written a number of best-selling books.
It looks like he's coloured them in himself.
What's he called? UFOs,
werewolves, and the pig man, just thrown in for good measure.
And Stan Collymore. Anyway, Lee outlines his discoveries in his latest book, Skinwalkers, Real Encounters with Shapeshifters, UFOs and Interdimensional Beings. Skinwalker, now this is true. I want you to know this, that on Saturday, I did a load of gigs this weekend, which I have not told you about, but anyway. And I was up and down the country and I thought, I'm going to listen to a podcast, right? And I'm now, having listened to a number of podcasts, I'm fully convinced that ours is the best podcast that anybody can listen to.
Of course it is.
I listened to something called, now what was it? Where was it? Hold on, let's have a look. Fringe Network Alien State, right? And I was listening to the cat, and the British government, honestly, Linda, I know you doubt all this stuff, but they need to take a leaf out of the US government's book. This is true. According to this podcast, which deals with skinwalkers, right?
Were they Americans or?
All about Americans. Right. And all about skinwalkers in a ranch in Utah.
Right.
This podcast, it's made by something else and Sony Music. According to them, the American government have spent $22 million bloody dollars on investigating it.
Bloody hell.
Hats off to Americans. I mean, we can't, you know, we can't get decent roads or pay the nurses off. No, there's no money out there. In America, they've got room for, you know, spending money on bloody shapeshifters.
I heard a thing about them trying to get people to, like, kill goats from the other room and that.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a listen to it. It's a very, very good podcast. I listen to everyone else's paranormal shit.
Just got to check, haven't you, on the opposition?
Oh, listen, you're doing nothing wrong by listening to us. There's nothing. There's literally nothing else out
there.
Of shite. It's all of it. The millions of it. It's all shite. This is the best. Anyway, that aside, time now for those Skype messages you left for me this week.
New message.
Hi, Clinton. I recently contacted you regarding the fact that I need help getting my legs to work to walk up the stairs in HMV to get some Swedish porn. I'm really desperate for that now.
Hello. I was out in my local woods walking, and I got caught a bit short, you know. So I went in the woods, you know, to...
Hey, Clifford. Kevin Scott here from County Durham. I've got man flu, so please bear with me. Basically, I think we've got a poltergeist in the house. The last few weeks, we've been coming downstairs, and the television has been moved. But then what the poltergeist has done has moved it back to the original position. So really, we can't tell. Also, the same poltergeist is constantly and continually disconnecting all my more...
Your Tesco mobile has no more credit. Please call 09...
Oh, hello, Clinton. It was lovely to see you the other day. You exercised me good and proper. You left a pair of your silken boxers here, and I've cleaned the skidders up.
Hello, Clinton. Do you and Linda Pollock have baths together, Clinton?
Just want to introduce you now to someone I met. I did a gig, I kid you not, I did a gig at Her Majesty's Prison, Dorchester. Yes, a decommissioned prison. This was last week in Dorchester, in Dorset. Only decommissioned in 2013. A very, very spooky place. While I was there, I met a fella called David Arnold, a fantastic comedian. He opened. Honestly, he absolutely tore the place apart. Not in a prison rioting sort of. There was no dirty protest involved from him or the audience, but he is a believer. Have a listen to David Arnold. David, I understand you are a believer in ghosts like myself.
I am indeed, Clinton, yes.
Have you seen any bloody ghosts here tonight?
I've not, no. Surprised, I thought I would see some ghosts, but it's getting dark and I think I might peg it before all the lights go off.
Well, yes, and, you know, I have done a few things in my time. I begin to think this, you might have seen the ghost of my career in here tonight. Jeez, Christ. David, please tell us a spooky story.
OK, Clinton, well, I'm a tour guide with Plymouth Comedy Tours. We do a walking tour around the city.
Right, OK.
And me and a couple of comedy friends of mine, and there's a story about an artist, Robert Lenkovich, very famous artist.
I know him, Robert Lenkovich.
Yes, yeah. And he embalmed a tramp. Are you aware of the story where
he embalmed a tramp?
He embalmed a tramp.
Okay, yes.
The tramp signed over his body to Lenkovich when he died.
Good God.
And he embalmed the tramp and kept it in his living room for years.
Oh,
and there are rumours.
Bastard.
I don't know what he did to it. There are rumours.
Fucking hell.
There are rumours that you can still hear the tramp.
What, offering him out? Or
I don't
fight
know. You can still...
Fighting with a lamppost?
You can still... Apparently...
Don't cancel me for that. please, I'll say anything just to get a laugh. Please don't cancel me for that. Go on. What was the tramp? What's he say?
The tramp was called, I think it was Diogenes, I think is the tramp's name. I don't know.
Right.
That's what he's known as.
Yeah.
I think he died of old age.
Right, okay.
He died of old age. But he still exists. He's embalmed. The mummified remains of the tramp are still in a house in Plymouth.
Just a minute. And when you go around doing your tour, do you see this thing?
We don't
or
see it. No, it's in somebody's living room. I know whose living room it's in.
Well, whose?
It's in a woman called Anna's living room. And she used to be married to him.
Right, hold
Not
on.
The tramp. She used to be married to the artist. Lenkovich.
So. Hold on, just a minute. Anna, if you're listening, could you please make yourself known? Don't bring the embalmed tramp into the studio, which, let's face it, is my house. I don't want it in there. I've got enough trouble when Ruth was living there. Go on. So how do you know this, Anna? How old is she? She's quite old.
She played roller derby with my wife. So my wife did, like, a full contact sport on roller skates.
Oh God, this is getting more and more far-fetched. What do you mean? So this was, yeah, she said, oh yeah, he's sitting up in my living room.
My wife has seen the tramp. She's been and seen it in situ in the living room.
Oh my giddy godfathers.
I don't know if it's like a coffee table or if it's, if it's just in the corner or if it's stood up or laid down. I don't know. I've not seen it myself, but it's still there.
Oh,
it still exists.
God, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to live with a mummified.
Well, I do need a new coffee table. I don't know whether, probably not very good for putting.
No, I would have thought you'd need to put a bit of glass on.
You
top
would,
of
wouldn't
it
you? On yeah, something like that. Oh, my God. Well, do you think she could come on the show and talk about it?
I'm sure she would, yeah. I'm sure she would, but I'll reach out to Anna.
Right, okay. And so when did she do this roller derby? First of all, we'll get this bit over in a minute. What is the roller derby?
It's a full contact sport where a group of women skate around in a circle and try and knock each other off the track, off the track. They skate around on skates, two teams of five, and they have to score points by lapping each other. It's an actual thing.
Right, and what do they win? A dead embalmed tramp?
No, I don't think that's the prize. Okay. I don't think that's the prize.
Well, that's very spooky. But have you seen anything else on your travels? Well, nothing to rival that, obviously.
No, obviously, no. But there are, because it's an old naval place, Plymouth. So,
yeah, I know, I stayed there near the Victualers.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. And you can catch a boat over to Corsand and Kingsand.
Yes, you can.
I did a show at the Drum, Plymouth Drum.
Nice. Yes, very
I've done
nice.
A couple of shows, there, actually. And I stayed in a lovely little place just near the Victualers, which is where the Navy keep all their stores and things.
Yes, yeah.
And, go on, yeah.
So they talk about the Mayflower, which set sail at 1620.
Yes, I know. I went to America with the Pilgrims. Yeah,
and
yeah.
They...
thinks I'm an idiot.
And so where the Mayflower steps are, where all the American tourists come over and take photos, that's where they think the Mayflower sailed from. But it didn't actually set sail from there because it's all been built up over the years.
Right.
The actual Mayflower steps are in the toilet of the Admiral McBride pub.
Right, okay.
Which is
good
on
God.
The Barbican. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And you can go in the ladies and there's a blue plaque from the Mayflower. That's where it sets sail from.
Oh, my God.
It's next to a machine that sells products, but it's there. You can
what
go in.
Product? Scurvy? Or what does it sell? Rickets?
Feminine products.
Oh,
feminine
good
products.
God. Yeah, so, okay, yeah. Right. Well, goodness me, that's absolutely thrilling. Right. David, thank you. And I think that was someone at last who's informed about something.
Yeah.
If you want to see the embalmed tramp, we like to call him a tramp, he's a human being.
Human
the
being.
The person, I say human being, the coffee table now, possibly. But if you want to, the drinks are on me, he said. Anyway, oh, it's sort of funny, isn't it? Right, okay, not if you're homeless. Let's not get into that. David, thank you very much. And David, where can people see you?
So they can come on the comedy tour, the walking tour around Plymouth. We do that every Tuesday and Sunday through the summer. Tuesday and Saturday through the summer. But yeah, all over. Gigging all over the country. Well, so Welsh Dave Comedy.
Welsh Dave Comedy. We won't hold that against him. All I'm going to say is he absolutely took the roof off the place when he was here. Oh, it was brilliant. People would be fighting to get into this prison to see him, put it that way. Dave, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And now someone is really keen to sort the wheat from the chaff. My neighbour, let's just call him B, who's been phoning up switchboards to try and catch these charlatans out. Have a listen to this.
Witness the power of the tarot. Enter the psychic zone and find out what's in your future.
Find out what secrets our tarot masters have to tell you. Call now.
Call 1-800-943-4-3.
1-800-654-3128.
Hello there, you're through to Romilly Starr. Nice to meet you.
Hello, Romilly.
Hello. Well, who am I speaking to, please?
Yeah, I'm just... fucking chump. My name is let's just call me B. I'd want to be lay low, unspecific, incognito.
Yes, lovely to meet you. That's fine. Yeah. You can keep your name from me, no problem.
It's Barry,
Barry. Thank you, Barry. What brings you to us today for reading?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little bit cynical about it, you know. I mean,
I feel that even if you're a sceptic, there's still always a message that comes through. So
yes.
I feel that it's really important that you're open to it, and we'll just see what comes through today. How do you feel about that, Barry?
I'm wide open. Really wide open, I am.
Lovely. And so today we're going to do a very simple reading for you. We're going to look at your past, present, and future. So I've got my tarot here.
Yes, go on. Yeah. Sorry.
Lovely.
Excuse me.
I feel that you're an older gentleman, am I correct?
Yes, I am an older
gentleman. Lovely. Well, you've lived a life. You've lived a life.
Well, you say that. I've lived a life. I've done, you know, national service. I was a greengrocer for many years. I've had a beautiful, a pretty, well, I've had a wife. For many years, I've been married to her. And so we've had two children. Well, they're grown up now,
Barry, if I'm just going to stop you there. I don't want to learn too much about you because I want the cards to speak for themselves. Okay, so I've cut the deck, and the first thing that comes up, I have the Hanged Man.
Now, what does that mean?
This is a sacrifice. Release, it could mean some sort of martyrdom. Does that ring true with you in any way?
I make a lot of sacrifices, or I would tell you this, I am a martyr to my corns on my feet. I was up on my feet all through my career, and I would go to the back, get out some more cauliflowers and that. And people would come in the shop, they'd go, "Need more carrots?" I'd go out the back, Oh, it was very damp out there and it done my feet in. So I am a martyr to various ailments. And in this hot weather, I don't go into too much detail, but I got very, very raw, very raw.
Well, you must defend yourself, Barry. It's very important.
Don't need to go into that. I put a bit of talc there, but I'm so hot down there, we're baking a cake. Goose cake! Oh no, it's very warm today. Absolutely, you must look after yourself first and foremost. I do, I blot it down there a bit, you know. Wear some cotton pants anyway, sorry.
So you say you've got a wife?
Yeah, sorry, I know it's hard to...
I feel you have a very strong connection. There's definitely a very strong female influence in the cards here. So just going through...
Barry, yes. Mention of a mention of a Helen Weimark, is there? Helen Weimark.
Right. Yes. I'm not that sort of psychic.
I loved her very much back in the day, and we had a brief encounter. In them days, you know, you wanted to make love, you had to apply to the council, the local vicar, she'd need a chaperone to accompany her to the house, formal.
Right, yes, very traditional.
Yes. There'd be very little bunky unless you was married. Helen Weimark. Hello?
This is another influence that I'm getting through.
Very much so.
On the cards. Was there a feeling of unrequited love there?
Oh, I was very unrequited. We had a couple of nights in my car. She didn't requite me once. I was fully unrequited by the time I got out.
There's definitely a sense of frustration.
Yes. Blue balls, they used to call it, you know.
Yes. Hello? Right. Yes. So we're going to be moving on to your present now, Barry.
Yes.
So I've got death. Now, death doesn't mean death.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So the first one you had was the hanged man.
Yeah, that's your past.
Yes. So we covered that, and your next one is death.
Oh.
However, I have to stress to you, Barry, that death card doesn't mean death as in a person, and it's not necessarily somebody, you passing away or somebody near you. It usually means the ending of a situation, the changing, the passing.
At least not until I paid you via PayPal, I expect. Then I can go and shuffle off with the fucking hangman or not, either. What does it mean, then? What have I given up? What's happened?
Well, it's whatever resonates with you. What is there something that's... There could be something in your present that is going to change.
Getting off the phone to this nonsense as soon as I can.
Right, okay. Well, I'm sensing Barry. No problem. I see you're frustrated.
Yes.
So I want to move on to the final card of the reading. Yeah. And in the future card, which is the Chariot. So that represents direction and control.
Is it one of their mobility things from the mobility showcase in the high street? Because I have got one of those. It's a chariot of sorts. If you charge it up overnight, I can get down the Poundland. Which chariot? Do you think I might move on to the deluxe? Two wing mirrors it's got.
I mean, it could mean that. It could also mean your willpower. I can sense you have a lot of strength.
Bloody right.
A strong character that's surrounded by two sphinx there, the chariot.
Something wrong with my what? The sphinx? There's nothing wrong with my sphinx. As I say, it's a little bit sweaty nearby, but the sphinx is all right, I think.
And it just represents the different stars in the card here. Represent your willpower and your strength. So you have a strong sense of control in your life.
The Sphinx, yeah, I do really. I've not really suffered in that department before.
Right, okay, yes, absolutely. Well, I think that just about brings us to...
Well, it's inconclusive.
Is there anything that you wanted to ask me?
Yeah, how do you get away with this rip-off? Thank you, goodbye.
Your network provider has charged £75.78 to your account for your psychic reading call. Thank you, and have a nice day.
The producers Peters Fox Limited have used this recording in good faith and made every effort to disguise the company of the switchboard used and the psychics contacted, who were in turn remunerated for their participation in this podcast. Thank you.
Now it's time for part two of Paddy McGuinness's interview.
Because he wasn't done with part one.
He wasn't done with part one. Did you enjoy the first?
Did.
Oh, he's
Isn't
a nice chap. Do you like Paddy?
I do. I don't think anyone doesn't like Paddy, do they?
What's not to like?
He's
about
tall,
Paddy?
He's handsome, he's yeah. funny, he's, yeah. you know, he's got yeah. a great dad.
Yeah,
he's
what am I? Chopped liver. Come on.
You're very sparkly.
Very sparkly, and so is Paddy. And this is the second half of my trip up to his lovely, lovely house where we discussed show business. Just setting this up. Can you just give us a second, please? Don't be bloody impatient.
I've got to say...
What you got to say?
Getting your money's worth today, aren't you?
Oh, not half. Not
Jesus
half.
Christ.
Jesus Christ. Do you know what I made me laugh? When we did Phoenix Nights Live, yeah. thank you, at the Manchester Arena, the thing that made me laugh, which I often think I'd like to do with my show, because you have these cameras and they're sort of 100-foot high screens yeah. on either side of the stage. That old trick where you go, oh, we're so delighted to have in the audience.
Oh, Ricky Hatton.
Ricky Hatton. Yeah. And they go, oh, sorry, love.
But it's funny, them like... old gags like that still make people laugh.
Oh, my stock in trade, yeah.
Apart from the woman.
Oh, well.
Who's being ridiculed in front of 15,000 people. Everyone pointing and laughing at her. But yeah. other than that,
yeah, well,
lovely
there's going to be a certain amount of civilian casualties, aren't there? What can you do? In the arena of guerrilla comedy, there's going to have to be some collateral damage, isn't there? For Christ's sake. Funny you should say that, because I do a bit in my... new show, thank you so much. Go to baptiste.com/live for tickets. Where it's so rude, and I'll have to. I'm just I don't want to spoil this, but I say something to a lady about being a.
Oh.
And.
A Norris McWhirter.
Yeah. A Norris McWhirter, yeah. Bit yeah. of a Norris.
But she's a bit of a Norris.
She's a bit of a Norris. And I've tried before, and for a while, I did it once in. I didn't achieve it, but I mean, I did. I said the joke once in Middlesbrough, and it got such a laugh. And then I thought,
I was going to say, welcomed in Middlesbrough.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're not fussy, are they? And also, I did think, you know, her husband might get up and smack me in the face. There's always that, so I move away quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't
do that in Guildford, though.
I've got to tell
that's
you.
That's the difference with the audiences. Guildford, by the way, lovely audience.
Lovely
but
audience.
Polite. Clappers and then stoppers and right. listeners.
Yes.
Middlesbrough, crackle in the air, constantly something.
There was. And at this particular club, there was a big fight beforehand. And I thought, and like, a horrible fight as well. And I was like,
Happy days.
It's going to be fun going on after this. While we're talking on the subject of gigging and performing,
yeah.
Paddy, what was a nightmare? We can talk about the good times, but the nightmare version. Was there anything that happened that was particularly...
I think you know yourself with touring and what have you.
Yeah.
You do more or less the same show every night. There's always ad-libs and there's always a little bit different, but the spine of the show is always the same.
That's correct.
So you could do, like you just said, you could do a Friday night in Middlesbrough.
That's it.
Absolutely storming. Exact same show.
Yeah.
Exactly the same show on a Monday in wherever. Bloody, let's say, Guildford.
Yeah. Play the room.
Exactly. Play that's all it is. So I think one of the things you learn about being on stage is no one no one enjoys it not going as well. Everyone loves it when it's amazing.
Yes.
But sometimes you'll do shows where it's not like die to death, but it's just a quieter audience. That's the it. Room's different, the night's different, and you just kind of go, well, I know that works.
Yes, yes.
Because 9 out of 10 times it'll get a laugh, but sometimes it's just the room.
And this is, to any of you comedy aficionados, and I don't know why I'm talking about this because I'm a spiritual man, but Paddy will tell you. But that is true, and I've met comedians before. What's that, Andy Story? And I'm always very nervous before I go on stage. Very, very, you know, and I'm quite an old man now, but I'm still nervous. And he said to me one day, he said, I'm not going to let this group of random strangers define how I feel about my career and my craft. You've got to be realistic about it.
Yeah, no, and that is right. But I think most of us as human beings don't, you know, it's like people who, you know, successful in anything, sometimes they'll have a certain mindset, but I think 99% of us, like you said, will be nervous.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And what's amazing about being nervous is they're there for you.
Yeah.
But you're still nervous. So your tour, I've been seeing you live, great tour, great, like, brilliant night. Everyone's there for you. They've got T-shirts on with your name on, everything else, but you're still shitting yourself in week one.
Yeah.
And it's like, why am I so nervous? But it's the pressure you put on yourself of, please, please, I hope they laugh.
And I tell you who I was talking to the other day, Jason Byrne.
Oh,
what a comedian. What a comedian.
I was at the Kilkenny Cats Laugh Festival in the early 90s, something like that, whatever it were.
Yeah.
It might be early noughties, sorry. And He was already on. He's in the middle of his act. And as I walked in the pub he was playing at the time, I'd never seen his act. I went, what the fuck? And he was stood with two sticks with rubber fingers on the end, put them in a fan in the ceiling while it ran. And I was like, I need to see this lad. I need to watch the rest of this act.
Well, he told me that he used to go through sort of the ritual I do, very, very nervous, pacing up and down, hitting his head against the wall, going over his life, deep breaths, feeling sick.
Yeah.
Which I did the other night when I did a gig after Craig Charles, 2,000 or 3,000 people at this bloody festival. I was thinking, why am I putting myself through this? They don't want to see me! Of course they
didn't. Well, that's where sometimes they're not there for you, so you're going, oh, God, here we go. But then it can go the other way with it. They love it.
Win them over.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Not? And he said to me that he was doing all this stuff and Sean Hughes, the late, great Sean Hughes,
another
looked
nice guy.
Up and went, what are you doing that for? Yeah. And he said, I'm nervous. And he said, how many gigs have you done? And he said, 200. He said, well, how many went well? I said, but you know, the vast majority. I said, well, this is not working. You know, you're obviously doing all right. Don't waste your time with all this.
Yeah, yeah.
And he thought, yeah, why am I?
Just at the beginning of that, when you said Sean Hughes, but you did an impression of Bob Geldof. And I wonder if that was purposeful or...
I can't contact the dead, perform up and down the country and do impressions.
I didn't want to get the streams crossed in case you were talking about Bob Geldof and you did a bit of, you know... But it is, you're right. You put yourself through it.
Yeah.
But we're saying all that. Majority of times it goes well.
Yeah.
And when it does, oh, by God. What a
What a feeling.
What a feeling.
What a feeling. And look, it's obviously gone well for Paddy because I'm sitting in his house and it's a fucking palace. It's fantastic. I wish I lived here. My God, I wish I lived here.
I wish you lived here.
It can be arranged. There's enough bloody rooms. Right. I think he's got to go because he's got to go and do something for Top Gear now.
Yeah.
I think, come on. Back home there. Can you give him a nice round of applause? The wonderful Paddy. He's a great guy. He's a lovely friend of mine. Thank you, Paddy.
You're welcome, sir.
Namaste to you. Shalom, Shakatak, and Shami Chakrabarti to each and every one of you. And Shinga Shonga Shakespeare.
Yeah.
All right. Ta-da, love. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Paddy McGuinness. What a wonderful fella. Now, what we got coming up now, I got to warn you, those of a sensitive nature will get you to question everything you held to be true, but it'll give you new thoughts, new philosophies, and at the very least, proper shit you up from the Daily Star. The Daily Star, the go-to paranormal publication. If you would, please, Linda.
A ghost hunter believes he's captured the famous Black Monk of Pontefract on camera after sneakily, and I quote, catching him out.
Ooh.
John Paul Newlands, who said he was left almost in tears of fear after seeing the image, claims he tricked the monk by taking a photo of his reflection in the mirror.
Right, okay.
The paranormal investigator visited 30... I don't know if we should say the address, because people will be going, won't they?
It is a well-known... Sorry, listeners, Linda doesn't know this. Everybody knows in the paranormal community that 30 East Drive Pontefract, East Yorkshire, is dubbed one of the UK's spookiest homes.
One of, I mean, not necessarily the spookiest.
It is, there's all sorts going out. There's lots going up there.
Is there?
Oh, my God, yeah. Keep going.
Last month, this guy went over there to contact the ghost through thought to haunt its rooms. The 40-year-old, don't know why we need to know how old he is, has since revealed an image shot in one of the upstairs bedrooms, which he believes catches the dreaded Black Monk's apparition in its bottom right corner.
If you want to see an exploration of the White Monk, you would... Please go to Clinton Baptist Mystic Hunt on YouTube.
But this is a Black Monk.
No, well, if you go and see that on YouTube, you'll see me go into a bedroom and discover the White Monk on the bed, which is not Cockney rhyming. There is literally a White Monk. It's called Mystic Hunt, the Haunted Hotel. Continue, please.
He says the frightened silhouette shows the monk wearing a long hooded robe with its arms raised in front of him.
Oh, bloody hoodies.
John Paul has brushed off claims by some that the figure is just a light reflection, not even a ghost or anything. So he reckons it's true. So that's the end of that.
No, it is true. Well, look, I've got to tell you, anyone, if you go to the Daily Star and have a look at this thing, it's bloody terrifying.
Right.
It's not a camera flare. It is actually the Black Monk. And if anybody out there wants to invite me and Linda to come up and investigate any hauntings, we will do it for a small fee. And we'll come up in our own time and hotel provided, of course, and venture into your haunted house for a matter of half an hour at most. Please invite us. We'd like to come and investigate.
We'll give it a right thorough going
over. We'll give it a thorough going over.
John Paul from Nocton, Lincolnshire said, when I saw the picture, my heart sank. I won't lie. Come on. I was really taken aback by it, and I was at a point where I was nearly, not quite, but nearly in tears. I don't know whether it was because I was happy or whether it's because I was frightened. I just couldn't tell at the time. I ran up the stairs shouting, I found him! I found him! I got him!
Right, can I just say, Linda, you are... I don't want to get too technical, but what we call in the trade, taking the piss. So can you tell me, have you never seen a poltergeist, never experienced a bloody poltergeist?
Well, I think it's a very human thing. And the reason I tell you this...
Yes, oh yeah.
...is I woke up once in the middle of an earthquake. One of them crap ones we have in this country where it's just like a little slight buzz in the bed, right?
Yeah, I know. Oh, make your own jokes up, please, people.
Anyway, I was shook and awake.
Yeah.
And my immediate thought... And I'm a woman of science. I'm a woman of book reading and all that stuff. I'm not a spooky woman. My immediate thought was, bloody hell, it's a poltergeist.
Do you like to taste me jam donuts?
Sorry, I pressed the wrong one. It's just a minute. I meant to press the...
You make me feel sexy.
Sorry, go on. I was meant to put a scary thing
on. But of course, Clinton...
Sorry, there it is. Go on.
It wasn't a poltergeist. It was tectonic plates or something like that.
Right. And so, what did you feel exactly?
I felt like I could shit myself.
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
but I think it's a primal thing of, I don't understand what this is, it must be spooks.
Okay. I'm beginning to wonder, Linda, whether you are the right person to host what is, let's be fair, a paranormal fucking podcast.
One of the best paranormal podcasts there are.
The best bloody paranormal podcast. Brought down slightly by one of the co-hosts who don't believe in any of it.
I'm a sceptic.
I know you're a sceptic, but listen, my love, these things happen. We've had countless stories week after week of people who have reported seeing, you know, scary things.
We've also had quite a lot of bullshit. Let's be honest. Like that woman who reckoned the butcher came over and farted so hard you could see his coat move. But of course it was the dead dog's nose.
Well, it might have been. We don't know about that, do we? It could have been... It could have been the dead dog or it could have been a fart. You know, couldn't it? But you know, I mean... she was convinced and the butcher was convinced that there was a dog nosing up his bottom.
I think they wanted to believe that.
Well,
the truth was too more.
So what did
much,
you feel?
Too much more scary.
You felt that there was like somebody lying on you, or there was a buzz in the bed?
No, I thought I was woken by the shaking, and immediately my mind went to. And I'm ashamed to say it, my mind went straight to it must be a poltergeist. But I have had the night terrors, and that is very terrifying. I'm not even going to joke about that. That's horrible.
The night terrors in what way?
When you think, right, here's what happens. You wake up, you think you... Or do you wake up? Maybe you're still asleep. You wake up, there is someone standing over the bed, right?
Yeah.
You feel the horror of knowing that there's an intruder in your room, but you cannot move. You are absolutely paralysed.
Yes, I know that, yes.
And then they press down on your chest.
Oh, my God.
It has happened to me twice. Both times I've woken up standing up next to the bed having jumped out.
Well... What makes you so sure it's not a bloody poltergeist, Linda bloody Pollock?
Well, I'd rather it wasn't. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, we all would rather that, but... listeners, please write in with your experiences of meeting up with a poltergeist. For crying out loud.
I am always losing my glasses.
There will be a job going soon for a co-host, clearly. Listen, I've had many, many poltergeists in my time.
Yeah.
I had a teenage poltergeist. You know, he didn't do anything until 2 o'clock when he got up eventually. I said, come on. I said, he's supposed to be a bloody poltergeist. You're a teenage poltergeist. He said, no, he wrote on the mirror, I'm a poltergeist. I'm not your poltergeist,
boom.
Right? You know, you're really generalising about teen poltergeists, you know. You know, can we just have less of the generalisation? And I'm sure I had the ghost of Liberace at one stage.
Right.
Oh, my God, very meticulous.
Noisy?
Very beautiful noises. You know, he used to arrange all my cutlery. Instead of chucking them out, he'd... Oh, it's beautiful. The only time he threw a cushion was when it didn't go with my sofa. He said, you know, he threw it in a rage sort of thing.
Well, maybe for the best, you know what? They're brutal, but they're honest.
Well, we've had a Laura laughs, haven't we, Linda?
We have. We really have. We've had a debate as well, haven't we, about whether it's all a load of bollocks or not.
I want you to tell me what you're going to be up to now. You're going to be going home and researching bloody poltergeists, hopefully.
Actually, on my way home, I'm calling in on a very old friend.
Are you?
Yes.
And to what end?
Because I like keeping people in my life who I like.
Oh.
So I haven't seen her for a while. Obviously, we've all been locked up.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And I'm going to go and see... And I hadn't seen her for ages before, that's
right.
Me, so there's no excuse.
Okay.
So I'm going to see her. She's from my college days.
Oh, lovely. Rather boring anecdote, that, isn't it? She's gone. Don't worry about that. We're going just time now for... Sorry about that last 2 or 3 minutes. Let's go now, Linda, to our... Well, I want to go to our Jane McDonald song to sum up the show.
Oh, Jane's come into the room.
Let's have a bit of fun.
Oh, I've got the common torch and they're coming me. Oh, I'm going up beyond the day.
Look at me, Miss Sarong.
Oh, I'm in the show. Oh, that's right, Miss Sarong. I've got about... Oh, I'm a bit pissed, but who doesn't like to have a few drinks on the cruise?
Bottoms up, lad.
So that was Jane McDonald. Thank you, Jane. Until next time. Bye-bye. Well, another show. Plenty more next week, because remember, the paranormal waits for no man or woman or ghost. Thanks for your attention. The spooks, the suspension. It's always a laugh. Sorry about the bad bit. Yeah, my apologies for Ruth coming in and spoiling that segment at the start. I do clean my bottom, actually, and maybe that's the big takeaway for this week. That's it, please. And now, it's time to say goodbye. Don't forget, Clinton Baptiste versus Ramon all over the country. September to December. Come on, guys. Get your ticket. And we'll see you there. Unless we can sneak out the back door of the theatre and back to the hotel nice and quick for a drink without you noticing.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Yeah, right. Clinton Baptiste here, offering you the chance to enjoy my Patreon podcast for free for 7 days. So many people have been joining me over there. It's a shame that you're not. We've got videos, cartoons, we've got all sorts of stuff, all the old back catalogue, and a chance for exclusive dibs on tickets before anyone else. Please come to patreon.com/Clinton Baptiste. All right, spirit fading now. See you there. Fading now.